Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei says that the U.S. was complicit in the recent terrorist attack on a shrine in Shiraz because of its role in creating Daesh. Iran's foreign minister tells a regional conference in Jordan that only regional countries can enhance security and stability in West Asia. The United States flies strategic bombers and stealth fighters to South Korea following North Korea's latest ballistic missile test. Hello and welcome to News from our Tehran headquarters, Sam Behrouz, Najaf. Iran's Islamic Revolution leader says that the United States was behind the deadly October attack on a holy shrine in southern Iran. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei says the United States is an accomplice of the crime, as it was the main sponsor and creator of Daesh terrorist group, which claimed the attack. The leader made a comment in a meeting with families of the victims. He said that killing pilgrims is quite different from other acts of terror and brings further disgrace to the enemy. Ayatollah Khamenei described those behind the terrorist act as liars and hypocrites. He said that they claim to be advocates of human rights, but in practice they create dangerous terrorist groups. The terrorist attack on Shah Cheragh Shrine in the city of Shiraz left 13 pilgrims, including a young boy, dead. Now, Jordan is hosting the Baghdad 2 summit, which is aimed at easing tensions in the region, particularly in Iraq, and we just were covering for you a couple of minutes ago. Officials from key regional players, including Iran and Saudi Arabia, taking part in the summit. They're joined by dignitaries from a number of European countries, including the French president. The event is the second round of the Baghdad Conference for Cooperation and Partnership held in Iraq last year. Iran is represented by Foreign Minister Hossein Amin Abdullahi, and according to the French presidency, the event aims to provide support for the stability, security, and prosperity of Iraq. The Arab country has been mired in political tensions and economic woes in recent years. Now, on the sidelines of the Jordan summit, a meeting has been held between the top nuclear negotiators of Iran and the European Union. Iranian foreign minister and the EU foreign policy chief also are in attendance. The two sides are trying to break the current impasse in the talks for the revival of the 2015 nuclear deal. Iran's permanent ambassador to the UN has called on the U.S. to choose diplomacy over pressure, intimidation, and confrontation. Amir Saeed Iravani said that this is the way forward if Washington seeks to revive the agreement known as the JCPOA. He said that Iran is ready to resume the Vienna talks on the revival of the accord. The official has stressed that the current standoff is a direct result of Washington's unilateral withdrawal from the nuclear deal in 2018. Medical negligence in Israeli jails has taken the life of another Palestinian inmate. A correspondent, Mona Kandil, says the victim was suffering from serious health conditions before losing his life.
We are speaking about Nasser Ahmed. This Palestinian prisoner and the leader of the Fatah's Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades in Ramallah, he was arrested by the Israeli forces in 2010. And he received five life sentences behind bars, plus 50 years as well. He was arrested by the Israeli forces several times before 2002. The Israelis had accused Nasser Abu Ahmed of killing a number of Israeli soldiers during the incursions that taken place in Ramallah. What happened is that Nasser Abu Ahmed was diagnosed as a cancer-stricken prisoner, and the Israeli prison authorities had refused to release him upon calls by his family and his mother, as well as by the Palestinian Authority and the different resistance groups. Instead, and according to doctors, the result of the tumor in his head was a direct result that the Israeli jailers or the Israeli authorities were not giving Nasser Abu Ahmed the appropriate medication.
Meantime, Palestinian groups have reacted to the death of Nasser Abu Hamed, a senior commander of the Fatah movement in the occupied West Bank city of Ramallah. Fatah saying that such incidents expose the fascist nature of Israel in its treatment of Palestinian prisoners. It says the regime is directly responsible for Abu Hamed's death. Hamas resistance movement is also calling for stronger resistance against Israel's policy of medical negligence toward inmates. Hamas also slammed Israel for what it called the regime's terrorist behavior toward Palestinians. A general strike has also been announced in Ramallah in reaction to the Palestinians' death. Israeli soldiers and settlers have been stepping up attacks against Palestinian civilians in the occupied West Bank and other areas. Two Palestinian brothers have become the latest victims of Israeli settler crimes. A settler deliberately ran over them in Nablus and fled. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas accusing the Israeli regime of allowing the perpetrators to get away with such crimes to further incite such violence against Palestinians.
An Israeli settler has run over two Palestinian brothers near the city of Nablus in the north of the occupied West Bank, making them the latest victims of Israeli settler crimes. According to Palestinian media, Mohammad Motair and his brother, Mohannad, had stopped their vehicle by the side of the road near the Zatara military checkpoint south of Nablus to fix a flat tire. It was then that an Israeli settler hit the siblings, who were traveling around with their family members at the time, and fled the scene. The victim's relatives said that 28-year-old Mohammed was killed immediately after being trampled on by the settler, while his brother, 24-year-old Mohannad, was seriously injured in the same accident and was later announced dead due to his injuries. Reacting to the atrocity, Hazem Qasem, a spokesman for the Gaza Strip-based Hamas Palestinian Resistance Movement, said the settlers are escalating their aggression against Palestinians. He added that the formation of the new right-wing government in Israel has apparently emboldened settlers to ratchet up their crimes against Palestinians. He described the incident as a new episode in the series of, quote, Zionist terrorism under the protection of the regime's police and army, saying this crime must be answered by increasing the resistance in the West Bank. Israeli occupation soldiers and settlers have been noticeably escalating their attacks against Palestinian civilians in the West Bank and other areas, in an attempt to forcibly expel Palestinians from their lands and make way for expanding Israeli settlements. Israeli forces have also been conducting overnight raids and killings in the northern occupied West Bank, mainly in the cities of Jenin and Nablus, where new groups of Palestinian resistance fighters have been formed. Since the start of 2022, Israeli troops have killed more than 210 Palestinians, including more than 50 children, in the occupied West Bank and East Al-Quds, as well as the besieged Gaza Strip. Earlier, the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs described 2022 as the deadliest year for Palestinians since 2005, when the UN started to keep a tally of Palestinian fatalities. The world body says Israeli forces have shot dead 19 Palestinians, including 3 children, in different incidents across the occupied territories between November 22nd and December 11th. In addition to the killings, Israeli forces have blocked the main entrances of several villages across the West Bank, disrupting livelihoods of thousands of Palestinians.
In yet another provocative move against Palestinian worshippers, scores of Israeli settlers have stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque in the occupied Old City of Al-Quds, and that under pretext of celebrating the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. The Palestinian forces, factions, and commissions have called for the defense of Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Scores of Israeli settlers, guarded by police, have stormed the courtyards of Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in occupied Al-Quds under the pretext of celebrating Hanukkah holiday. Earlier, the Israeli police stormed Al-Aqsa and forcibly expelled Palestinians stationed inside, paving the way for the illegal settlers to storm the compound. Israeli forces deployed heavily inside Al-Quds Old City in preparation for securing the settlers' incursions and preventing Palestinians from entering the mosque. Israeli settlers intend to storm Al-Aqsa for 8 days to celebrate the so-called Hanukkah, also known as Festival of Lights, which extends from December 18th to December 26th, as settler groups promoted the storming by announcing free transportation for its members. Israeli groups and extremist settlers had previously called for massive incursions into the holy site during the Hanukkah holidays. Hardline Israeli officials and settlers regularly stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in the occupied city, a provocative move that infuriates Palestinians. Settlers' incursions on Al-Aqsa Mosque frequently trigger clashes that leave casualties among Palestinians. Such acts of violence even led to an 11-day war between Palestinian resistance groups in the besieged Gaza Strip and the Israeli regime in 2021, during which the regime forces killed at least 260 Palestinians, including 66 children. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has condemned the latest raid on Al-Aqsa Mosque by Israeli settlers. Hamas says such incursions are provocative and very dangerous. The movement has urged Palestinians to mobilize immediately in defense of Al-Aqsa Mosque. The resistance movement stressed the Palestinian nation will make sure to protect the mosque under any circumstances, warning Israel of the consequences of raids on the holy site. The Jewish visitation of Al-Aqsa is permitted, but as part of a decades-old agreement between Jordan, the custodian of Islamic and Christian sites in Al-Quds, and Israel in the wake of Israel's occupation of East Al-Quds in 1967, non-Muslim worship at the compound is prohibited.
Tensions remain high on the Korean Peninsula. The U.S. has reportedly deployed B-52 bombers and F-22 fighters for joint drills with South Korea. The developments are the first since May 2018. They come days after Pyongyang launched two mid-range ballistic missiles. North Korea says its recent slew of missile tests are a response to the growing U.S. presence in the region and joint military drills with South Korea and Japan. Meantime, North Korea has denounced Japan's new security strategy. Japan has unveiled its biggest military buildup since World War II. Pyongyang says Tokyo's talk of the right to preemptive strikes represents a new aggression policy. North Korea is warning of practical countermeasures. Frank Smith joined us a short while ago from Seoul. He said the deployment of U.S. bombers is rooted in South Korea's attempt to bring more strategic weapons to that region.
This follows South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol's determination to bring more so-called strategic assets. Those are American weapons that can potentially deliver nuclear weapons. This also comes with a stronger commitment to so-called extended deterrence. That's the U.S. nuclear umbrella, in which the U.S. promises essentially to use any weapons at its disposal, including nuclear weapons, to defend its allies around the world, and in this case, South Korea and Japan. Unfortunately, what we really have here is an arms race now developing, with Korea spending more money on weapons, generally U.S. weapons, Japan just announcing that it's going to double its military spending from 1% to 2% of GDP, including developing counter-strike capabilities to respond to what it perceives as a North Korean threat.
In the U.K., nurses go on strike today in their second industrial action in less than a week, and that's over economic hardships that they're facing. Up to 1,000 nurses walking out from their jobs in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland. They want better pay rises to be able to cope with soaring inflation. The government has offered raises of roughly 4 to 5%. The strike in nurses are just a fraction of public and private sector workers taking industrial action over pay and working conditions. Ambulance workers, including paramedics and call handlers, are set to strike on Wednesday. Britons are grappling with a cost-of-living crisis that's worsened by decades-high inflation. Our colleague Amina Taylor in London was with us a short while ago, and she explained how life-saving care is not interrupted during the strike.
Let's be fair about this in terms of interruptions. While there will be waiting list waits and minor injuries and certain sections of care, the union's own charter says life-saving care has to be continued during the strike. So nurses won't be stepping over patients dying in the hospital
Indeed.
To go and their colleagues on the picket line. So let's just be fair about that.
Indeed.
But it does interrupt the service. But I think patients understand if you can't get people to want to work in the healthcare sector, this is just a temporary fix if you don't give them what they want.
The Russian president says the situation in four Ukrainian regions Russia has annexed is extremely difficult. Vladimir Putin ordered security services to ensure the safety of the people living in those areas. He also instructed the agencies to step up surveillance to protect borders of the region and combat new threats. The comments came as Ukraine renewed calls for more weapons amid its strikes against its energy infrastructure and allegations that Belarus could join Russia in the war. Both Russia and Belarus have denied the allegation. Moscow says attacks on Ukraine's energy facilities are a response to the country's strikes on Russian power lines. Stakes are rising in a U.S. congressional investigation of Donald Trump and a stark move. The panel probing last year's assaults on the Capitol has recommended criminal charges be filed against the former president.
The question is on the motion to favorably report to the House. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it.
The Democratic-led House of Representatives Committee voted unanimously to refer the charges to the Justice Department. They include inciting an insurrection, obstruction of an official proceeding, conspiring to defraud the U.S. government, and making false statements. Congress had never made a criminal referral against a sitting or former president. The charges could result in a ban from public office for Trump and even prison time. Now, Trump says the recommendation of the, quote, fake charge against him is part of an attempt to prevent him from running for the White House again. At least five people died in a Capitol riot on the 6th of January last year. The mob storming the Congress building sought to prevent the transfer of power to President Joe Biden amid claims by Trump that the election was stolen. And that's a wrap for this newscast. Thank you for being with us.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
in the limelight.
In the U.S., House Democrats are trying to introduce legislation to bar Donald Trump from office under the 14th Amendment. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. CBS News has covered this story, telling us more. House Democrats on Thursday, 15th of December, introduced legislation that would bar former President Donald Trump from holding any federal office in the future, citing Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. The legislation is spearheaded by Democratic Representative David Cicilline of Rhode Island, who was a House manager for Trump's second impeachment. And the bill also has 40 co-sponsors, all of them Democrats. It cites the provision in the 14th Amendment that says no one who has held government office and who engaged in insurrection or rebellion shall be able to hold federal office again. Donald Trump very clearly engaged in an insurrection on 6th of January 2021, with the intention of overturning the lawful and fair results of the 2020 election, David Cicilline argued in a statement. He added, "You don't get to lead a government you tried to destroy." Even Mitch McConnell admits that Donald Trump bears responsibility, saying on the Senate floor that there is no question, none, that President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of 6th of January 2021. The 14th Amendment makes clear that based on his past behavior, Donald Trump is disqualified from ever holding federal office again, and under Section 5, Congress has the power to pass legislation to implement this prohibition, Cicilline added. The legislation goes into detail about how Donald Trump pushed then-Vice President Mike Pence to refuse to certify the election results, failed to do anything to denounce the mob assaulting the Capitol for hours, and intervened with government officials who didn't support his false claims of mass election fraud, among other things. The bill would need to pass both chambers of Congress with only days before Republicans take control of the House of Representatives and a substantial end-of-year agenda remaining. The legislation drops as the House Select Committee investigating the January 6, 2021 assault on the Capitol prepares to release its final report next week. That committee is only authorized to operation until the end of the year. The Hill newspaper has also covered the same story. A group of 40 House Democrats, led by Representative David Cicilline from Rhode Island, introduced legislation on Thursday, 15th of December, to bar former President Donald Trump from holding future federal office under the 14th Amendment. Section 3 of the amendment states that no one who previously took an oath to support the Constitution and engaged in insurrection or rebellion shall hold any office, civil or military, under the United States. Representative David Cicilline said in a release announcing the legislation that Trump very clearly engaged in an insurrection on 6th of January 2021 with the intention of overturning the results of the 2020 presidential election. "You don't get to lead a government you tried to destroy," he said. The release states that the bill includes testimony and evidence demonstrating how Donald Trump engaged in the insurrection. The bill also specifically describes how Trump helped encourage the violence on 6th of January 2021, tried to intimidate state and federal officials when they did not support his false claims of the election being stolen, and refused to denounce the mob that stormed the Capitol building for hours during the riot. The 14th Amendment makes clear that based on his past behavior, Donald Trump is disqualified from ever holding federal office again. And under Section 5, Congress has the power to pass legislation to implement this prohibition, Cicilline said. David Cicilline, who served as an impeachment manager during Donald Trump's first impeachment, sent a letter to his Democratic colleagues last month to solicit co-sponsors for a bill to bar Donald Trump from holding office. Trump was impeached on a charge of incitement of insurrection in the aftermath of 6th of January 2021, but he was acquitted by the Senate. This was the second time that Trump was impeached, with the first one coming in December of 2019. Last month, Donald Trump became the first major candidate to announce a run for the presidency in 2024. The 14th Amendment was ratified in the aftermath of the American Civil War when ex-Confederates and seceded states rejoined the Union. Fox News Channel has also covered the same story and tells us more. A group of 40 House Democrats have put forward legislation that would bar former President Donald Trump from holding public office again under the 14th Amendment. Representative David Cicilline, a Democrat from Rhode Island, one of the House Democrats who led the second impeachment effort against Trump, introduced legislation on Thursday, 15th of December, with 40 Democratic co-sponsors that would invoke Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to prevent Trump from returning to the White House or holding any other office. The amendment states, "No person shall hold any office, civil or military, under the United States, who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof." Democrats argue that this language, adopted in the 1860s to prevent former Confederates from occupying positions in the federal government after the Civil War, should be applied to Donald Trump, who they allege incited an insurrection against the United States on 6th of January 2021. Donald Trump very clearly engaged in an insurrection on 6th of January 2021 with the intention of overturning the lawful and fair results of the 2020 presidential election. "You don't get to lead a government you tried to destroy," David Cicilline said in a statement. The statement added, "Even Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell admits that Trump bears responsibility, saying on the Senate floor that there is no question, none, that President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of 6th of January 2021. The 14th Amendment makes clear that based on his past behavior, Donald Trump is disqualified from ever holding federal office again, and under Section 5, Congress has the power to pass legislation to implement this prohibition. Democrats say their legislation details testimony and evidence collected by the House Select Committee on the January 6th riot and reports on the events of that day to make the case that Donald Trump helped to plan and to encourage an insurrection to overturn the lawful results of the 2020 presidential election. Last month, Donald Trump announced his candidacy for president in 2024 in Palm Beach, Florida.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of prophethood based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. And we are currently focusing on the first and the second sermons. And in these sermons, Imam Ali alayhi salam discusses about the important issue of the purpose of the prophets and the grounds and conditions which led to their coming. And we discussed that, of course, the major reason why the prophets came was the state of confusion that the people were in, that state whereby the people were not able to materialize their potentials. They were not able to pay attention to their innate nature as a community and as a person. And that innate nature that exists within a community and as a person, as a human being, definitely is something that would cause people to grow, to become pure, spiritually pure, and to develop in all ways. But the confusion was stopping them from achieving that. And that is when we said, that is what we said is meant by fi khayri darin wa sharri jiranin. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind and gave them the best of abodes, that they were able to live in the best of places, their best of situation, that means the best of potentials to grow in all sense. But the bad neighbors, washarri jiran, the neighbors who are bad, that means those ruthless and cruel and tricky people who are creating those confusions, who are stopping them from that progress that they could achieve.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, one of the other things that the confusion led to, this confusion, this state of fitna that we say, the confusion and that state of delusion that the people were in, and that enticement that they were undergoing because of the way the enemy was portraying himself, these were causing these people to stay away from the right path. And at the same time, this confusion meant that they are not achieving their purpose. And when a person, when a community is not achieving its purpose and is just, let's say, running around, you know, in circles and not going towards that direction that is required, then that community and that those people are always in a state of fear. They are always in a state of, you can say, lack of satisfaction. And that is why Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Naumuhum suhud." Their sleep is not sleep; it's wakefulness. Naumuhum suhud. They are not actually sleeping. They cannot sleep peacefully. They don't have any peaceful sleep. They are always as if they are awake. They can't stay, they can't sleep, basically. It's mostly because of the sadness, because of the you can say the depression and the fear and that bitter feeling about life. And that is the reality. You look at the people of the world, and that is the reason why the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his, you know, out of his mercy, sent the messengers to free the people from these feelings and these states of lack of satisfaction of what they were supposed to achieve in life. وَكُحْلُهُمْ دُمُوعٌ, and the medicine of their eyes is dumur, is basically tears. Tears are actually just flowing from their eyes. It's a metaphor to explain the level of sadness and the level of dissatisfaction. People who are dissatisfied with life, people who are not happy with life, who are afraid of the situation, who are not aware of their future, are those that can't have a peaceful sleep at night, and they are always sleeping in a state of sadness. The prophets came to free people from that. And the best way was to remove them from that state of confusion that they were in.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, talking about the state of confusion and spiritual disorientation, we realize, therefore, the main purpose behind the coming of the messengers and the prophets was the issue of guidance. When we talk about guidance, now we understand what it means. It means to take out people from that confusion, to remove them from that spiritual disorientation, and to fill the vacuum of thought, and to fill that vacuum of thought that the people had. This is the thing. As such, people should not say the prophets, they came to remove ignorance. Yes, that was one of the small aspects of the purpose. You shouldn't say that the prophets came to alleviate poverty. That was just one of the purposes. Or the prophets came to cure the sick. That was just one of the purposes. Or the prophets came to free people from dictators. That was one of the purposes. The actual purpose of the prophets and the messengers was to remove that state of confusion. And that state of confusion, when it would come out, when that dark cloud, when the dark cloud that exists between them and their innate natures are blown away, and that and human beings can now think freely in their natural way and are able to contemplate and extract the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept within their souls, and the messengers with their guiding hands are able to guide the intellect to retrieve those treasures that exist within the human nature, that is when the human beings will naturally be able to create that right change that is needed in the society. In the spiritual sense, definitely, and in the material sense, if Allah wills, with all those amenities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given and the potentials that He has provided for mankind, they will definitely be able to achieve progress never seen before, as long as human beings are ready to stick to the commandments of Allah and base their lives on the teachings of the prophets. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى وفي المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat Orbat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
Armed police used tear gas in clashes with football fans in Paris on Sunday night, 18th of December, after France's World Cup defeat to Argentina. Around 14,000 police officers were on duty across France to keep order. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Daily Mail has covered this story and tells us more. Armed police used tear gas on the streets of Paris on Sunday night, 18th of December, after disorder broke out following the World Cup defeat to Argentina. Football fans descended en masse to the streets of the country's biggest cities, Paris, Lyon and Nice, after the game. Police officers quelled the disturbance in the Champs-Élysées as flares were ignited and fireworks went off. Meanwhile, similar scenes played out in Madrid, Spain, as jubilant Argentinian fans flooded the streets of Madrid in celebration. Pictures showed a huge crowd of fans in white and blue in the city's main square celebrating after their team defeated France. However, some clashes broke out with police, with photographs showing armed officers beating supporters with batons. One man was seen being ushered away by police. Around 14,000 police officers went on duty across France on Sunday night, 18th of December, to guarantee security as Les Blues took on Argentina in the World Cup final. The Parisian security operation presented to the French Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin publicly on Friday saw a concentration of forces in Paris, where huge crowds were expected in the event of a victory. The Champs-Élysées Avenue was the scene of vast celebrations during France's previous World Cup triumphs back in 1998 and 2018, with 600,000 people cheering and dancing there 4 years ago. The avenue was closed to traffic on Sunday, and 2,750 police officers were stationed in the vicinity. Police were on their guard for troublemakers after around 40 far-right sympathizers arrested on Wednesday evening as they attempted to join a crowd of revelers after France beat Morocco in the semi-final. They had come to start a fight, the French Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin told reporters. The aftermath of last Wednesday's game was also marred by the death of a 14-year-old teenage boy in the southern French city of Montpellier, who was hit by a car carrying supporters. The driver of a white hatchback involved in the accident is still being sought by French police. With concrete blocks painted blue, white and red, police had sealed off the Champs-Élysées to traffic in anticipation of it flooding with celebrating crowds on Sunday. People did gather and fireworks were fired into the sky when France twice equalized, but they were left with a feeling of disappointment. By contrast, hundreds of thousands of Argentinian football fans poured into the sunlit streets of Buenos Aires on Sunday, ecstatic after a nail-biting victory on penalties in the World Cup final over France made the South Americans world champions for the first time since 1986. In a tense and roller coaster match played in Qatar in front of some 88,000 fans, Argentina, led by star Lionel Messi, took home its third World Cup after beating France, the defending champions, 4-2 on penalties after drawing 3-3 after extra time. British newspaper The Sun has also covered the same story. Riot cops tear gas fans in France on Sunday night as clashes erupted across the country after Argentina's sensational World Cup win. Thousands of football fans poured into the streets of Paris, Nice and Lyon after France lost to Argentina 4-2 on penalties in Qatar. Riot cops clashed with fans on the famous Champs-Élysées Boulevard in the French capital as flares were lit up and fireworks hit the skies after the tense game. In Lyon, riot police reportedly fired tear gas on football fans as violence broke out in the city. Shocking video footage showed chaotic scenes as supporters draped in flags hurled rocks, bottles and fireworks at police officers before officers fired tear gas on the crowds. Cops could be heard yelling "turn around" at rioters as water cannons reportedly moved in to break up the crowds. Another video clip showed a group of fans pummeling cars with rocks and rubbish before riot police chased them down the street. Dozens have been arrested in the city, according to reports. French police also responded to unrest in the Mediterranean French city of Nice on Sunday night, 18th of December. French newspaper Le Figaro reported clashes took place with police and garbage bins were set alight in Nice. Video footage shows a heavy police presence in central Nice. A fire can be seen burning on a rubbish-strewn street. Riots have erupted across Europe after several World Cup games in recent weeks. Last Wednesday, a 14-year-old teenage boy was killed when violent crashes erupted across France following their World Cup victory over Morocco. Police were pummeled by fireworks in Paris as thousands poured into the streets to celebrate after France beat Morocco 2-0 to reach the final. Shocking video footage showed chaotic scenes as fans bombarded riot cops with a stream of fireworks before officers were forced to flee the line of fire. Another video clip in the French capital Paris showed police pushing back fans as they set off flares at the Champs-Élysées. Rowdy fans chanted as hundreds of cars paraded past the crowds, sounding their horns and waving flags from the windows. French cops said 115 arrests had been made in Paris by the early hours of Thursday morning, 15th of December, according to Le Parisien. In the French city of Montpellier, shocking video footage also showed fans chucking chairs, fireworks and rocks at riot police and climbing the landmark fountain in the city.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very noble and important tradition. This tradition is about the abandonment of prayer and how it is tantamount and identical to disbelief. You know, we have a very beautiful verse in the Holy Quran which says, they will be in gardens questioning concerning the guilty. You know, the believers will be in heaven and they will ask the guilty, the mujrimeen, what drew you into hell? The guilty, they will answer, we were not amongst those who prayed. لَمْ نَكُوْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. Right, so prayer is the pillar of religion. It's the light of the heavens and the earth, right? And, you know, it's the foundation of our religion. You know, without prayer, you know, there's not much hope in somebody, you know, being saved and attaining salvation in the hereafter. And if our prayers are answered, you know, our prayers are accepted, our ritual prayers, then everything else will be accepted, all our other actions. In a very beautiful hadith, the Prophet said, it only takes for a Muslim to deliberately abandon the performance of the daily obligatory prayer or to not perform it out of carelessness for him to become an infidel. Neglecting the prayer, abandoning it, this leads to a state of infidelity and kufr. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was once asked why the one who abandons the prayer is considered an infidel and not the fornicator, to which he replied, because the fornicator and other such sinners commit the sin out of a desire that overcomes him, whereas the one who abandons the prayer only does so because he does not take it seriously, deeming it insignificant. Right? But nobody leaves the prayer because he's overcome with a state of passion and lust for abandoning the prayer. No, he does so because he thinks it's unimportant, right? Right. Whereas a person who, you know, commits other sins such as fornication or something like, for example, stealing and these kind of things, you know, one might almost give him an excuse because he's, you know, he cannot control his passions at that time and, you know, he's overcome with them and, you know, almost as if he is in a state of inability to, you know, to fight against those passions. But this lack of prayer or abandoning prayer, no, it's not in this case. A person, you know, there's nothing preventing this person from praying except the fact that he's lazy, you know, or he doesn't think that the prayer is important. He knows the prayer is important, right? He's realized, he is aware of it, right? But he just can't get himself up to, you know, stand up and pray. That's why, you know, we have been prohibited from taking prayer lightly. We've been cautioned against this. Imam Bakr alayhi salam said, do not neglect your prayer, for verily the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, while he was on his deathbed, the one who takes his prayers lightly is not from me. Right? This is a very important hadith. You know, at the time of the deathbed of the Prophet, this is a time when somebody's about to die that he only mentions some very important things. The fact that the Prophet mentioned this at the time of his death indicates its significance in his eyes and in the eyes of religion and Allah. Right? So, taking the prayers lightly, istighfaf bisalat, right? This is a very grave matter and it should be avoided at all costs. It's very important to take it very seriously, the prayers, as far as our otherworldly here and felicity and sa'adat are concerned. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the abandoning of prayers in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This one lay.
Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.